Okay, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Thank you so much for your support over the last couple of hours. And as I say, we're here with you for the next hour. We've got quite a lot to come up on the programme. Right, just some of your comments coming in so far this morning. There's been another incident in Garton. Another lorry went off the road yesterday evening. This is the second HGV, along with a number of cars and vans, all within a year. My children travel on that road each day in their school bus. Several buses use this route. Why is Donegal County Council not acting in fixing this treacherous stretch of road before someone is seriously injured? Right, okay. Jennifer Carol McNeill of Fine Gael, Minister for Europe, joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for sparing the time today. Right, we're going to talk about the importance of trying to get more Irish people working within the EU institutions and agencies. Why? Why do we need more Irish people in there, and what kind of work's available?
Well, for start off, as an individual, they are a really fantastic job. So a graduate working in the EU would have a starting salary of the equivalent of 92,000 euros. So if your son or daughter, or if you're listening to this and you're coming to the end of your college time...
Son or daughter? I'm literally applying as we speak. What do you want to...
Hey, I know. I considered it myself, right?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, so you need a second language, but let's not forget that most Irish people already have that with Irish and English, and maybe they have another language, French or Spanish. You don't just have to be a linguist. You don't just have to be a lawyer. It could be in engineering, agriculture, veterinary, aviation, literally so many different areas. And there's a big competition coming in at the end of this year, beginning of next year. There hasn't been one since 2019. There's going to be 900 jobs available, but there's about 300,000 people from across Europe competing for those positions. And I want to see Irish people getting them. They're incredibly well paid, and they are the opportunity to shape and European policy on behalf of the EU, but with an Irish twist, with an Irish affinity. Now, we have about 513 people already working in the Commission, but they're moving through the stages. They're really senior. We've done really well. We've had two Secretary Generals of the Commission, but a lot of those Irish people are getting to retirement stage, and we need new Irish blood moving into those Commission positions. And it's not just Commission positions. Like, for example, if you work in intellectual property now and you get one of these positions, the job is in Alicante in Spain, really well paid, doing intellectual property, or disease control in Stockholm. So 60,000 people across Europe, 30,000 in Brussels, but I want to see Irish people applying for these jobs and getting these jobs. And we have, the government is going to help you do it. We're going to help you with interview training. We're going to help you with the exam preparation. If you log on to ireland.ie/EU jobs, all of the information that you need is there. So we want you to get it. We want to help you get it and then work in the EU in an incredibly well-paid position. And that 92, that only goes one direction as well. You know that.
Fantastic.
So I want to see Irish people get these jobs.
Which, of course, in the first instance, we could look at them as individual opportunities. But beyond that, do you see the benefit of Irish people being in positions of influence or you know, maybe to you know, strategic benefits to our country? How
it's
does that work
strategic-
then?
Yeah, well, it's a big strategic priority for us. There's no question. And although people are working on behalf of Europe, let's just be honest. If you're from Killybegs, you have a different understanding of fisheries than other places and the importance of fisheries to Ireland. So it's with an Irish affinity. It's with Irish
experience.
Just
on that example, if you don't mind, you know, like in terms of who makes decisions, big decisions that might affect, say, for instance, the fishing industry, you know, it's not always exactly who you might think, who's influencing it. You know, I know, for example, some of the fishing bodies in this country want to meet with maybe some of the people we're talking about to sort of get the reality across, not necessarily your local MEP. That's in no way to put down what they might do or what influence they might have. But, you know, we're talking about jobs in real potentially areas of influence to bring an Irish understanding to some of these issues.
Precisely. And I mean, I've met all of the fishermen in Killybegs and the representative groups. I've had them into the Department of Taoiseach as well to hear their voices. But why wouldn't we have Irish men and women working in the different directorates themselves? So I put this up on my social media, and a gentleman contacted me to tell me he's actually starting a position this week in the agriculture directorate. So he's going to be working on carbon and greenhouse gas emissions and factoring that into the next common agricultural policy, which of course is a European wide issue, but he's doing that with a nuance, an Irish nuance, an Irish understanding. So yes, this is a massive strategic priority for the government, that we have more and more Irish people representing our broad interests across Europe, that we have the influence. And let's just be a bit honest here. There's a bit of horse trading that goes on as well. And we want to see Ireland do as well as we can within Europe. Europe isn't something that's over there. We already have 500 Irish people shaping policy within Europe, but I want to see that become 600. And I want to see them do well. I want to see them reach senior positions throughout every directorate all across the Commission. And I want to see Ireland at the centre of Europe, because that's where we have the most influence. The jobs happen to be extremely well paid, attractive positions, but that's great for individuals and their families, but it's good for Ireland too. And people can't apply for these jobs if they don't know about
and just
them.
In so relation to that, exactly, but just in relation to that, is there any quota sort of set up here, or, you know, does someone from Germany, Portugal, France and Ireland all apply for a job on a level playing field?
So kind of is the answer. There's no question, like, we have about 1.6% of the positions, but we're way below that at the moment. But what I see is an incredibly strong set of applications from Romania, from Spain, from France. And those countries are working at getting their people in those positions and making sure that it's a self-replicating phenomenon. There's no doubt about that. So let's just call a spade a spade. We need Irish people to apply, Irish people to get the jobs. Those Irish people that have gone there have done incredibly well. And this new generation of Irish, the sons and daughters of Ireland, can go to Europe and be successful in whatever field they wish. We want to support them. Just get in touch with us. Let us help you with the exam preparation, with the interview preparation, because we know how it works. We know how to do it. And these positions are there, and they don't come up all the time. The last time there was a competition like this was 2019. So this isn't an every year sort of thing. This is a once off every couple of years. Get on the panel. But maybe you're somebody who's already established in your career and you're working, I don't know, as a lawyer or in financial services. There are jobs available at those levels too. And all the time I'd say, just come and look at our website, ireland.ie/EU jobs, and let the people in the Department of Foreign Affairs help you, because they want to help you.
Just in relation to that, I mean, such is the extent of the opportunities, you know. I mean, you would imagine someone with a certain set of skills would be able to identify the position that best suits them. But for some, it might just seem this wealth of opportunity, and it just walk away from it because it's too complicated. From start to finish, will people get assistance in this regard? Like, or do you want to say, like, you know, I'm a lawyer. I'm not. I'm a lawyer. I see a lawyer's position there. I wouldn't mind a little bit of support and help in doing it. Is that when I contact you, or do I contact you and say, look, I've got this skill set. Can you maybe point me in the right direction?
Yeah, absolutely. Contact us at any stage, and we'll either tell you, look, they're hiring for this group at the moment, that's not necessarily for you. Or we'll say, there happens to be right now live financial services positions that you don't even need a degree for. So just get in touch. We'll tell you one way or the other. And there's a team there waiting and wanting to help. But it is complicated. Like, there are other people in Europe who are spending 6, 12, 18 months preparing for these positions, trying to compete to get them. So they are competitive. And I know that can be a bit off-putting. But by God, the reward, like, if you got one of these positions as a graduate coming out of Ireland, you're an hour and a half away from Ireland, you're at the centre of Europe, there's health benefits, there's 6 weeks holidays and a starting salary of €5,000 a month net. I mean, for goodness sake, why shouldn't Irish people get these positions? And I want to help them do it.
Oh, okay. I sense the enthusiasm, Jennifer. How do people get more information then?
You come on the website, ireland.ie/EU jobs. Come talk to the Department of Foreign Affairs through that portal, or contact me on my social media and I'll put you in touch with them. And we will try and help and support you at every stage. And if it's not for you, then we'll tell you it's not for you. But there is a group of Irish young people, I'm telling you. And if they know about this, or if their parents know about this, sure, I got my first job because my mum spotted the ad in the newspaper. Do you know, like, these things happen organically. Mm-hmm, maybe there's somebody listening to me and think, you know, if that would suit my kid, that would suit me.
Well, it's also an alternative to moving to the other side of the world. I mean, the truth be told, you know, you can get from Brussels to here, to Dublin, certainly, at least, quicker than you get from Letterkenny to Sligo. Right, okay. Well, the information's out there now. Jennifer, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Jennifer Carroll McNeill, Fine Gael Minister for Europe. Okay, just once again to reiterate the good news. I don't really like doing this, but everyone else does it, so I'm going to do it. So stuff them. Every radio station in Ireland every station in Ireland is considered for the 2024 IMRO Radio Awards. RTE, Spin FM, 2FM, Radio Ulster, it's a 32 county country, isn't it? And we have ourselves on this show, and the station, of course, because it's a collective here, have been shortlisted in category. I don't know what the name of the category is anyway, but it's Current Affairs Programme, Local, Regional. So we are up against some big hitters on that scene. So it's great. Fair play to Caroline Orr. Really, it's her fault, which is the negative way of putting it. And Shannon, of course, and all the team. And Katie's a big help to us as well. We haven't won anything, but listen, it's great to be shortlisted. Apparently it's a big honour. I'm not necessarily into that kind of stuff, right? But I know it is a big deal, so that's great. A caller says, when we were chatting to Elizabeth, lovely to hear the baby in the background. Yeah, we, Grace, she was a good girl, though. I'm not sure if Mum held her the whole time, but certainly when Mum had her close to her, she was so well behaved. Yes, a lovely little story, that. A caller says, it seems everyone's taxes are good enough to pay for any initiatives for the Irish language, but your opinion is invalid if you disagree. It should be mandatory. You must have some defect in your mentality. How is anyone's opinion invalid? This is the kind of head-knocking nonsense that has been manifested, I think, mostly on social media. If you believe that the Irish language, teaching of the Irish language in this country should be mandatory, fair play to you. That is your point of view, and I respect that. If you believe it should not be mandatory, that is your point of view, and I respect that. Those two point of views can coexist. One does not cancel the other out. Have a conversation, maybe, and you might go, well, okay, maybe semi-mandatory, or, okay, actually, you're right, it shouldn't be mandatory. We're not just necessarily fixed positions at complete opposites, and no one's opinion has any greater weight than another's. So I hope you don't think it was me that was disregarding your opinion. It certainly wasn't my intention. Good morning, Greg. To be a national school teacher, you just need Honours Irish at Leaving Cert. That doesn't necessarily qualify you to actually teach the language. I agree with the previous text that conversational Irish should be taught instead of a focus on poetry. Another, why don't schools have one Irish-speaking teacher in primary school who teaches the Irish to all classes once a day? That's the thing. Teachers are unable to get permanent posts unless they have Honours Irish in the Leaving Cert and have to retrain. And as people are saying on your show, children still aren't having conversational Irish. Might solve both problems. Another great point. Listen, the one thing that's coming out of this conversation is that the public seem to have the solution to much of this, if they were listened to. As we heard a text earlier on, there's been another incident in Garton. Another lorry went off the road yesterday evening. This is the second HGV, along with a number of cars and vans, all within a year. My children travel on that road each day in their school bus. Several buses use this route. Why is the council not acting in fixing this treacherous stretch of road before someone is seriously injured? Independent Councillor Michael McBride joins us. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg, and to your listeners in Highland Radio.
Michael, for those outside the area, can you, as best you can, sort of geographically describe what stretch of road we're talking about here?
Yes, so it's just if you leave Churchill Village and you cross Gerton Bridge and you're carrying on your journey towards Glenveagh, it's just to maybe 100 or 150 yards past the bridge on the left-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lorry from Churchill Quarries dropped off the road there yesterday. That's the second incident. Churchill lorries a number of months ago had another lorry that was probably about 30 or 40 yards away from where the one went in yesterday. Both loaded, heading out with loads of stone. And I had numerous phone calls and text messages, correspondences yesterday evening from people who live in the area that are very concerned about what is going on there. Now, as well as the lorries going off, there's also been a number of cars that have also went off the road. I've witnessed them myself over the summer months. And it's very simple. The problem is that there's no verge on the side of the road. The roads are sitting, and when anybody catches the grass or if they go a bit off the side, there's no verge in the road. Now, I know Councillor Blaney and myself had been in contact with the council after the last lorry went off there. There's only one solution. Well, there's two solutions to the problem. It's either one, fill the side of the road with stone and build it up, but there's so many places along that road that need that done, or else the second one is to put crash barriers on it. But we're continually been told by Donegal County Council that they have no budget for crash barriers. And there's about a couple of examples of that. As down in Dunluce, below Errigal Mountain, there was an accident down there and the crash barrier has been basically demolished. It has served its purpose. but it's sitting there for months on end and hasn't been repaired.
I'm not sure a crash barrier would do much, though, to stop a HGV going off the side of the road, though, would it?
Well, I think the first thing it does is it marks the side of the road.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. I just wonder, even in the interim, I don't know this road specifically, but if there were frequent, you know, those like little white poles with the reflective markers on them, I'm just wondering, in the interim, if they were put in place to sort of make it very clear the boundaries of the road, would that help? Because we're not going to get a barrier. So, you know, the barrier seems to be off the table at this point.
I think it certainly would help, Greg. Anything that can be put there to get it to market.
Yeah, because the road didn't give way, did it? The road didn't give way. This lorry appears to have just gone off the road.
I went out there yesterday evening to look at it because that was the first thing came to my mind, you know, when it was brought to my attention yesterday evening. And I drove down there last night to have a look at it. And the road seems to have held, you know, it just seems that the wheels of the lorry cut the grass. And then as it continued to move forward, obviously the grass verge disappeared and the lorry just went on over on its side, you know, and it's quite deep. The wheels on the passenger side on the driver's side of the lorry are just lying on level with the road.
Wow.
So it just, you went know, right down. Probably 10 or 12 feet deep there.
Yeah. I can see barriers, say for instance on a corner, right, whereby it could be an oil spill or it's just a dangerous corner, someone's not familiar with it. If you've got a relatively straight stretch of road, right, firstly, you have to look at the type of traffic that's on that road. But if vehicles are going off it without the road giving way, then obviously, and I don't know where these lorries came from, but obviously there's a driver element to that as well, right? So it seems that the only way we can best give everyone the best opportunity, and it might be achievable, is actually to mark the boundary of the road. Because I know for a fact as well, too, there's a lot of local traffic on there, but also there's the heavy goods vehicles, and Google Maps sends traffic from north of Kilmacrenan up that road as well if they're going to the west of the county, and people might use it by choice as well. So there's a lot going on there, and it doesn't sound like there's going to be money to actually widen the road or to put barriers on. So we have to come up with something, don't you agree, Michael?
I do agree totally, Greg, and I suppose on top of all the things you listed out, you know, it's a very, very popular area for people going out walking and cycling. You'll be quite familiar with it yourself. A lot of people go out and park there and take off on their bicycles, and you know, there are a lot of people walking. So, you know, it is a very, very dangerous place, and especially with school being back now and stuff like that, there's a lot more traffic on the road, school buses and so on and so forth. So we are going to have to go and do something about it, and I will be raising it with the council again. And, you know, to try and get a solution to the problem. But there's a huge concern from the people who live in that area. And we just can't continue to ignore these problems. We have to deal with them. And I don't know, you know, the council, we're going to have to try and get them to put something into their budget for these crash barriers. I know they're extremely expensive. But, I mean, whenever there's certain areas where they just have to go and have to be maintained, and I'll be pushing that as hard as I can going forward.
Okay, thank you very much for your time as always. Take care of yourself. Anyone out there with any views on that, let me know. 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000. Great interview. Fair play to Elizabeth. You've such a lovely voice and are a great speaker. You seem like such a lovely person, and after everything that you've been through, indeed. I really enjoyed the chat with Elizabeth. I'm not sure how much time she thought she was going to be chatting to me, but anyway, I stuck with it I think we're on for over half an hour. Hi, Greg. Please say a big thank you to all the Heritage Week event organisers in County Donegal for delivering a great programme of over 120 events in the county last week, and to all the people who came out to support and enjoy the events. That comes in from a very dedicated individual in Dr. Joseph Gallagher, who's Heritage Officer with the County Donegal Heritage Office. He comes in to us every year, and it was great to have a wee chat with him. Happy 59th birthday to our mum and dad, Sally and Desi in Ballybuffet, from Patrick and Anne. Sally and Desi, 59 years married today. One off the big 6-0. Very exciting. Right. On Sunday, the 8th of September, we, the 9 till noon show. Is it the 9 till noon show? It's like a Sunday special. I don't know what we'll call it. But anyway, on Sunday the 8th, we are broadcasting live from the London Irish Vintage Club in Greenford in London Town, England. We're going to be on air from 12 noon to 2 p.m. And we're really looking forward to it. So if you can listen or watch, please do. But get over there. It's great fun. Fantastic. Robert Mazzell. is singing. It's Robert Mazzell, isn't it? Hi, I'm Robert Mazzell. But also, and don't let you put this off, don't let this put you off, our own David James is performing as well. And David is actually, as many, many of you know, David's actually a brilliant live performer as well. So David is there, and I think it is Robert, I'm almost 100% sure. And also then there's loads of old tractors. There's some amazing plant over there. Lots of Irish guys and girls have gone over there working, and you want to see how successful they are and the plant that they've managed to accumulate. Unbelievable stuff. You're looking up at the top of wheels, that kind of stuff. Old cars. I saw an old car there last year, I think it was, or was the year before, worth £1 million sterling. Can you believe that? So it's a great day out. It's in a massive field, and you can walk around, and the sun has been shining for the last 3 years. Fingers crossed it will again this year. So if you're in London, get along to it. It's a fantastic day, and everyone's Irish, and then everyone's not Irish either at the same time. But it's like being in a field in Dunloe or something, because it feels like you're in Ireland, but you're in London. But then obviously there's people from different communities there as well. But it's a lovely day. It's Sunday the 8th of September. If you're in London, get along to it. If you're not, go over. Get a flight. I checked the flights from Derry to, what's the big airport in London called? Heathrow. And they're not cheap, but they're not terribly expensive either. It's a great night out, great day out. Right, okay, so that's that. We're almost at €2,000 on our fundraiser for the Donegal Camino. I think we're almost at the point where I'm not embarrassed. We're certainly getting there anyway. So the annual Donegal Camino is taking place again this year to raise funds for Cancer Care West Donegal and Letterkenny. And all of the conversation I'm having with Caroline off the air is, you have to beg. You have to say please. You won't ask people to do it. You won't ask people to give money for charity. You always are looking to support other charities and other people, but you won't ask for yourself. And it's because I'm not terribly comfortable with it. But listen, we're going to have some fun. We are not climbing Everest, okay? We admit that. But we're going to go for a nice walk through Ards Forest Park on Monday, the 2nd of September. We're going to be linking into this show as well. And we're raising money for Cancer Care West Donegal. They've got this beautiful facility in Letterkenny. I don't want to bore you or make you switch out. But anyway, it provides, if someone gets a diagnosis, and it's hard to talk to loved ones about it sometimes because you're trying to protect their feelings, people just call up, sit down in the beautiful couches, have a cup of coffee, have a cup of tea, talk to other people, and just get that little bit of support at that time that they might need, or maybe a counselling session or to deal with stuff. They do some beauty stuff as well, you know what I mean? Some work with makeup and with hair, and you know the reason why that might be important with certain cancer treatments. People be up and down from Galway, so they've got services down in Galway to support people as well. We heard of some amazing stuff they do in terms of yoga. If there's some fluid retention after cancer, they do massages to sort of help alleviate that. So it's on diagnoses, sort of through treatment and post the main cancer treatment. Often, and listen to Fionnuala, you know, because, you know, Fionnuala, she's tough as, I was going to say boots, that sounds terrible, but Fionnuala's tough as nails, you know that, but she's not, she's got a heart of gold as well, but she is tough as nails, and almost embarrassed when you hear her, she's almost embarrassed talking about her experience, but still, you know, an awful lot to go through, and then stuff you have to deal with afterwards as well, and Fionnuala avails of that, and loads of people I know do as well. My point being is, please support us. idonate.ie/Greg Hughes. Donate whatever you can. Someone just dropped up €100. Can you believe it? The Ponsonbys, who are a lovely family from Letterkenny. Can I just ask Shannon to stop looking at me? I'm going to take a break, Shannon. I'm on a roll. Hold on a second. The Ponsonbys, whose daughter Sharon, and they're cousins of the Quinns in Mullen of Soul. And her daughter, Sharon Ponsonby, used to be down, was down for a couple of summers, and we used to hang out, and it was fantastic. And the Ponsonbys came up and donated €100, and that's going directly to Cancer Care West in Donegal. So if you can support us, drop some cash into the station, we'd really appreciate it. If you want to give us a call, we can process it here as well during the show times, 07491 25000, or go directly to the website, idonate.ie/Greg Hughes. Now, if you think I was being ignorant and saying that about Shannon, I wasn't. But Caroline said in my ear, which you can't hear and you should be able to hear, is, would you get a bloody move on?
Join Home Instead and make a difference in older people's lives. Home Instead Hiring Week. is Monday the 2nd to Friday the 6th of September. For event details or to apply now, visit homeinstead.ie.
Home Instead. To us, it's personal.
And by accident rather than design, I wish we were that good, we are speaking to Alison Hegarty, General Manager at Home Instead Donegal, who's with us now in studio. Alison, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Craig, for having me.
Is this your first radio interview?
Yes, with yourself face-to-face. Yes, I spoke to you on the phone before.
Which is easier?
Face-to-face, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good. Listen, we all know what we're talking about. It's all going to be great. Can you just give us a brief outline of the service that Home Instead provides?
Yeah, so Home Instead is the largest private healthcare provider for the whole of Donegal. We do numerous services throughout Donegal. We do older people services. We deal with clients that have intellectual disability, physical and sensory, people with dementia, which I'm going to talk about today. And so it's a wide range of services across the whole of Donegal, which you can imagine is a big, big county. And caregivers are by and large very hard to get. We currently have 154. We could be doing with another 100, to be honest.
Really? So effectively, those positions are available?
Yeah, all over the county, they're available. We do a lot of work with the HSE. So if they can't fulfil a package, they in turn ask us to do it. So there's about 200 packages there at the moment.
Yeah.
The packages allow older people to stay in their homes.
And it's a ripple effect too, because, you know, fulfil those posts, get more of these packages roll out. Faster discharges from the likes of the acute hospital where people
don't
need that care any longer, less pressure on that hospital, less pressure on the ED.
Exactly.
It's all interconnected, isn't it, Alison?
Yeah, and as I suppose most people want to stay at home, and the caregivers that we have trained are able to help people stay at home and live at home for as long as they can.
And before we get into the virtual dementia tour, listen, we might hit on a few people that this might suit. In terms of caring and applying for jobs, what sort of level of qualification do you need? Is it a full-time position? Are you likely to be working in your own local area?
Yeah, primarily we look at your availability. Say, for example, coming up now in September, mum's children going back to school, it puts them great because you can have morning calls and then go back out in the evening time. We have our own academy, training academy in Home Instead, and you're fully trained on that. We do all your Garda vetting, we do all your courses, we do all your compliance. So
you really back the right candidates, don't you?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. As I say, get in touch with Home Instead if you think that might suit you. The virtual dementia tour is something that's of great interest to me, just to learn about it. So what is this about?
So this is a tour that... that is coming, our first for Donegal, to be honest, and we're so lucky to have it. So it basically, there's a lot of people out there at the moment that families are dealing with dementia, and that affects the families as well as their loved one. So we have thought about this and we said, right, we're going to take the bus to Donegal. So what it entails, it's a free event, just putting it out there. You don't have to be a client with Home Instead. Anybody out there that... loved one is dealing with dementia and they're finding it hard to deal with. This virtual bus makes you realise what it's like for your loved one, what their feelings are and what it's basically like to walk in the snow.
Oh, sounds immersive.
It is very immersive, yeah. It's a 3-hour session. It's coming to Home Instead, outside Home Instead, and I have to say this has to be booked. You just can't rock up on the day.
No,
and
we'll
on
talk
the bus.
About that. We'll talk about that a little later on. So, what would be the benefit of it? Is it to sort of increase understanding or empathy, or is it to sort of maybe so that you understand better how you might care or act around someone with dementia? Like, what would be, or what comes back as the benefits of going through the virtual dementia tour? I wonder.
It'll give you tips and strategies to help you to improve the world of people living with dementia. It puts yourself in their shoes. What it's like to have dementia.
And I suppose it challenges you to say, well, what support can I give a person living with dementia to the best of the individual's abilities? Because we're all individuals,
absolutely,
aren't we?
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose on the day of the event, there's two sessions. One is from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. and the next one is from 1:30 until 4:30. Again, as I have to say, it has to be booked. You will get a briefing session before you actually go on the bus, and then afterwards there's going to be a debriefing session.
And have you done it?
I've done it myself, and I found it very, very, very rewarding.
Yeah, what about, is there any feel that someone might feel overwhelming or anything?
It could feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, it depends. Are you, you know, ask yourself the question, am I ready to do this? Am I ready to walk in the shoes of my loved one? It could be too soon for some people. It could be the right time for other people.
Yeah, and that's up to the individual to know, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And I mean, this is the first, it will be coming again. But each family will know themselves, right? Who is the person to do this? Who is the person that's most close to my mum or dad, you know? So it's up to the individual. It probably will be,
'cause that could upset you.
It could absolutely upset you. It will for many people. But are you ready for it? You need to ask that question. Do you need to know what challenges?
But that being said, someone, once they've sort of worked through the diagnosis and understand what kind of impact it might have on them living with someone with dementia, at that point, you know, there's probably a bit of reality and resilience that has built up to enable them to sort of say, right, actually, this could be a benefit to me.
Yeah, and it's only a benefit. This is a real benefit for families. And I mean, if you're not ready for it at this moment in time, go to our website. There's a lot of videos, different brochures that will help you with dementia. Maybe the next time when it comes to Donegal, it might be the time that you want.
Yeah, for sure. And this is sort of delivered in, it's kind of known as a dementia bus, but it's the virtual dementia tour. It's a state-of-the-art mobile simulator. It's backed up by scientific and medical evidence, and you've seen it yourself, and you're very content that it delivers
Absolutely,
this immersive experience to help people understand and also maybe understand a little bit more how people can appear frustrated.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. But as I said, if it's not your time, then maybe the next time it will be. But as you know, it has to, as I say, it's booked. It's been, since it's been advertised on Highland, and we put the message out there, there's a lot of calls that we've taken.
Well, let's recap that, how people can go, right, okay, I'm going to check if this is for me. So when's the bus up here, and give us the times and dates there, please,
Right,
Alison.
So it's free. The bus will arrive on Friday the 6th of September. There's two
Friday
sessions.
Week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Friday week, yeah. Two sessions. The morning session is from 10 until 1, and the afternoon session is from 1:30 to 1:30.
Does that include the debrief as well?
Yes.
Okay, right. So it's a 3-hour time commitment in each day. Now, if people are interested to get more information or indeed to book a slot, how do they do so, Alison?
They can ring the office, 07491 13050.
Okay, and just I think that's that covered, right? We'll link that on our socials to make sure everyone gets as much of that information as is possible. Back to hiring, because it's National Hiring Day, and this is a challenge across all sort of caregiving sectors, whether from a junior doctor to someone who cares in the home. Again, do you want to just sort of drive home who you want to hear from National Hiring Day, and just reiterate, I suppose, Alison, the support your team will give the right candidates?
Yeah, so we're wanting to hear for anybody that wants to be a caregiver throughout Donegal. We're around the whole of Donegal. From hiring week actually doesn't start until Monday week, but we're actually starting now on Friday. We're in Super Value in Killybegs from 10 until 2 on Friday. Kick off on Monday, which is a walk-in in our office in the Pierce Road. So anybody that's interested can walk in, talk to the staff, talk to the key players in there, and register. And there'll be an information day there as well where you can learn how to be a caregiver.
Okay.
On the Tuesday then, we're down in Cardona from 11 to 2 in Cost Cutters. On Wednesday, we're in Super Value in Dunlow from 11 to 2. And on that same day, there's a recruitment day in the office, but that must be booked. So that's Wednesday the 4th of September. That has to be booked. Thursday then, on the 5th of September, we're in Super Value in Bundoran. So we're trying to cover the whole county.
Yeah, I get you. Because there's availability in all parts of the county as well.
Exactly.
And talk a little bit more about the potential flexibility that might suit the candidate's life and all that kind of stuff. Brilliant. Okay, Alison, thank you. Now, just one final thing before we go. I was told by Caroline that me and you have to sing the Home Instead jingle from the advert before you're allowed to leave.
Thanks, Craig.
Alison Hegarty, General Manager at Homestead Donegal, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Madam.
All right,
thanks,
okay, Luke. We'll be back with more after these. So, as we head into the afternoon, some showers will turn heavy. There's a chance of an isolated thunderstorm before coming more isolated through the evening. Highest temperatures of around 16 degrees in light to moderate southwesterly winds, but it's looking good for your weekend. So, if you're off for the weekend, many of you will be very busy at the weekend, but if you are off for the weekend, and kids have got the first few days out of the way. Some not back till next week, though, and some not back well into September. But anyway, the weather should be grand. We should be able to get out and breathe if you're lucky enough and healthy enough to be able to do so. Chris Ashmore's not in today, but the podcast's available, Business Matters Podcast, and the script has been done for me. And it starts, well, comma, Chris Ashmore can't be with us this morning. I don't do scripts, folks, but anyway, Chris can't be with us this morning, but we're going to give you a little insight into what's coming up on the Business Matters programme this coming Sunday, and the focus of attention is a very successful Ballyshannon-based company. They're called Get Up and Go Publications Limited. They produce high-quality inspirational diaries, journals and planners that go, I'm told, far beyond our insurers and retail outlets. Indeed, the publication can be really inspiring and motivate, and are beautifully produced and illustrated. Brendan Sands is the Director of Sales and Managing Director, Katrina McGloin, but we're only going to hear from Brendan, or should we hear from Katrina? We'll hear from Katrina. I'm told the products have been very well received, and as Katrina's going to outline for us now... No, they're not in there. Oh, that was a shame. No, they're not there anyway, so I can't play the clips. They're not there. So that's fine. Business Matters, I've ruined that, haven't I? People aren't going to download the podcast. Am I going to get the sack? The Business Matters podcast is available for you right now on our website, highlandradio.com. Stream at your leisure, as they say in America. Or you can listen to it live or broadcast live, although it's recorded after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday. And it's a Highland Radio Business Matters podcast. Chris will be back with us next week. And the focus is on a very interesting company. I don't want to take anything away from what they're doing. Get Up and Go Publications. If you want to hear from Brendan and Katrina from that company, you can listen to it right now. It's live on our website, I'm told. Rightio, some more comments that have been coming in thick August fast this morning. Stop the ban on puberty blockers. Great to see Sinn Féin continue to have their finger on the pulse of burning issues of the day. Seems Mary Lou and co. still haven't learned anything after wrongly reading the mood of the public in the referendum earlier this year. That was something we were due to talk about today. Caroline, are we going to talk about that tomorrow? I don't know when there's a protest. The protest that was taking place, we didn't get to that today. Is that tomorrow or has it happened or whatever? It's happened, okay. Yes, yeah, okay. We might return to that, obviously, because it is a topic that's of great interest. Morning, Greg. Just a quick question to all the councillors in the Glenties electoral area. When was the last time they drove from Creasler to Lacquer Bridge, or more specific, Cashel, where you turn off to Doe Island? It's an embarrassment, the state of the road in 24. I've been on this road for over 20 years and can't remember it ever being upgraded. The volume of visitors on this road is only getting higher, but the road is getting worse. So please put it to our newly elected officials to pull the finger out and do something. Thank you from a very disgruntled driver in the area. Hi, Greg. I just heard you mention the AOB text message. This is from yesterday. Last week, I received a similar message and it turned out it was actually a scam. They did text me with my AIB conversation thread, and so it seemed very legit. I called in order to fix the claimed issue with my account and was convinced up until the point they asked for my full PAC number, first, third and fifth digit. And later on the call, the second and fourth, the clever, to see what they did there, which caused me to question them. And after asking them to email me via an AIB email address, they got frustrated and hung up. So what they do is, you're on the app, you have an access code. It's five digits. So what they do is, sorry, Greg, could we have your first, third and fifth digit just to confirm your identity, please? And I go, yeah, it's 135. And they go, okay, thank you very much. Let's talk for a little bit longer, blah, 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 blah. Oh, we seem to have a problem with the computer. It's reset. I actually need to verify your details again. Could you please give me the second and fourth numbers of your passcode? Yes, of course. It's 2 and 4. Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Hughes. And now what they have is they've got your pack number 12345. That's how they do it, folks. So they got frustrated and hung up. Kevin went on to report it to AIB, and they were very helpful in changing my account details just in case. Anyway, just a warning to any listeners who receive this text message to be aware and never give your PAC or registration number, etc. Thanks, Kevin. Word to the wise. That's good to know there. I feel this issue needs to be raised amongst your listeners, says an emailer. The ongoing works opposite the back car park to the Loreto Convent, as well as being adjacent to Skullcollankill, are starting to cause serious congestion. As staff and students are starting to come back, we're seeing the potential for huge disruptions. Buses and parents have to stop to let children off for school in the morning and the pickup at both times, and 4 o'clock is going to be a nightmare. At once, as one side of the road seems to be complete, they need to leave the opposite side of the road until another time. From what we hear, these works hope to be finished by Halloween, hopefully. I believe that, Caroline, is the same area that Christy was speaking about yesterday, is it? Okay. Keep us updated on that information. Hi, Greg. It's just come out that Israel's been flying Boeing 747 jumbo jets fully loaded with bombs for killing Palestinian civilians through Irish airspace. A serious criminal violation, Raymond concludes. If any of these, or if any of those 747s had crashed, there'd have been serious Irish deaths and casualties in all likelihood. The Irish government has been turning a blind eye to the Israeli flights. Thus, Ireland has been actively complicit in the genocide and crimes against humanity involving over 40,000 civilians in Gaza and the over 600 civilians in the West Bank. In America, there is a genocide Joe. Unfortunately, in Ireland, we now have genocide Simon, which is a... I get where you're coming from, Raymond. I wouldn't go that far. I don't think it's as helpful to go that far. I think certainly we can criticise, if it is your opinion, the American administration for actively promoting and supporting Israel if you're against what Israel are doing, and most people would be. A couple of flights through our airspace, I'm not sure that justifies the moniker. It's certainly something that is not insignificant and needs investigation. But look, that's your opinion, and we read it out because I respect that, of course. Right. Hi, Greg. I'm at my wit's end here. We're wondering if you could give help. There's a wooden fence between my house and the next door neighbours. They put the fence up years ago, but a good part of it has been blown down since the end of April. And we've caught a visitor of theirs trying to come onto our backyard through where the fence was twice now. Not the kind of person you want around. I asked the neighbour, would she please fix it, as we or she have no privacy now, and she said she would. That was April. Asked again in June, still nothing. I want to know how to get this sorted once and for all. She's renting it out for the last 5 years. I have a child here. I don't want people thinking it's normal to come onto property like this. Also, the rest of the fence is unsafe, as when the wind is blowing, it's like a sheet of paper. I'm scared it'll damage our conservatory, or indeed our car or our child. Who pays for damage then? As our car is on our street, there's just no talking to her. She doesn't care. She can walk away from it all. We spent years saving to get our home sorted. It's all really getting me down. I don't want bother with anyone. All I want is to be able to feel safe in my own home and that my child is safe. Please tell me how to sort this. I've been advised by Citizens Info not to touch their fences. Then it becomes our upkeep. Thanks, Greg. What do you think? It's a toughie. Right, so it sounds to me like the neighbour's renting and our caller owns the property. Would you take it up with the landlord? If they're renting, I mean, ultimately, is the landlord not responsible for the fence? Or at least I'd like to speak to the landlord and see if they believe they have any responsibility. That's the only thing I can suggest at this point. I'll mention it again to Seamus Gunn when he's back in with us. The bottom line is, though, as Seamus points out, if you can't sort of mediate or come up with an agreed solution, it can get very complicated, can't it? Because obviously, you know, you don't want to fall out with your neighbours or what have you. And it's bad enough that you're looking at the fence and it's peeing you off and you feel it's unsafe, but also that you're having argy-bargy with your neighbours. So I don't know. I'm going to presume that our caller owns the property, the neighbours are renting, and I'm going to throw it out there to the listenership to see what might you do in such a situation. Caroline, I'm not due to bring anyone in, am I? No, I'm not? Okay, all's good. So I'm just rattling. Yeah, okay. And when I say rattling, I mean we don't have enough time to justify a topic, if that makes sense. I've been asked to mention again, too, by the way, that... we've got €2,500 to give away on Friday. It's all very exciting, isn't it? It's part of our mega summer draw. There's €20,000 to be won in total. We are sitting here with the draw drum in our eyeline. If you want your name to be in that, you could still win big three times. €2,500 this Friday, €2,500 the following Friday, and then we're going to give away on the 9 till noon show. Oh, I don't... That's too late, Caroline. I can't do that, unfortunately. Sorry. just don't have enough time to justify. It's an important issue. We'll get back to that tomorrow, maybe. So you can win $2,500 this Friday, $2,500 the following Friday, and then $10,000 on this show Friday week. So there is $15,000 in play. There is actually $15,000. Okay, still the majority of the cash to be won. If you want your name to be in all three draws, then you need to get in touch with us between now and early Friday morning. I suggest you do it as soon as possible. Now, it's up to you, obviously, if you've got the money and you want to have a bit of a punt. You're more than welcome to go onto our website, highlandradio.com. A ticket's just a tenner. You can get 6 for 50 or 10 for 80. And you're invited to enter and not miss out on this exciting opportunity to win big. So I believe, is it David James' show on Friday? And then some other show on the following Friday. And then we're giving away the 10 grand. So if you want to be in, get onto the website, highlandradio.com. You can call in here and buy your tickets as well if you don't want to go online. Alternatively, give us a call, 07491 25000, and we'll process that for you. We'd be more than happy to do so. Someone asked me to mention this. I don't know if it's your thing or not, but we posted it on our social media, and I suppose it is food for thought. And it's to all students returning to school. And it says, if you see any of the following, and I'm reading this out in case you think, okay, that's interesting. I'm going to give that to my children to have a read. It says, if you see anything of the following, another student struggling to make friends, another student being picked on, a student who is new, shy or not with the in crowd, a student who is eating lunch alone, be a leader, be a warrior. Say hi, smile at them, ask if you can sit with them, include them. You never know what this person is facing inside or outside of school. Be kindness, and your kindness will make a difference in someone's life, which is a nice message. Maybe it's something you want to share with the young ones when they come home or as they head to school. A caller says, how can the council have money to flood Buncrana Shore Greens with tat? Okay, that's one way of describing it. And yet there's no money for crash barriers on dangerous roads. Well, it's where the money's drawn down from as well. There's national funds and there's a bit of council match funding in there and what have you. But I take your point, and your point's valid because it's your opinion and we respect that. Okay, that's where we leave it for Wednesday's 9 till noon show. We look forward already to be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And talking of being back, John Bresnan is back and he's going to be in the seat presenting around the Northwest after we take a break for the news. Have a great day.